Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. I personally want to thank you for each and every person in this class. I thank you for the privilege of being allowed to stand up here and teach your word to everybody here. I thank you for their love, their prayers, for this marvelous gift that they have given it that shows their love for me, Lord. I know I don't deserve it, but I thank you for it. And I certainly will just appreciate it every day that I get to walk out and look at it. Lord, thank you again for this coming year. Just lead, guide, and direct us as we study your word, that we may become better, stronger Christians, give a better testimony of our lives as we confront this world each and every day. And again, Lord, thank you for each and every person. Bless these days that we're looking ahead where we honor your birthday. Let us do it in a way that would please you, not seeking to please the world or wrapped up as the world does it. Thank you, Lord, for these many blessings, and guide us now in our study. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Okay, turning your Bibles to the book of Daniel, the 10th chapter. Some of you came in and told me you heard about the first class and were all excited, so they said we had a bang-up study for the first class. We'll try to have a bang-up study for the second class. Okay, chapter 10. Let me bring you up to date about chapter 10. Chapter 10, 11, and 12 really, in the context of what it is, shouldn't have been broken up in chapters. It's really one complete vision and description by the angel to Daniel of what this vision means. It's about the house of Israel. And it completes these visions that Daniel has had. Now at this time, as we start out in chapter 10, it's 2 years since he had the other vision. And he's in his early 90s probably at this time. 3 years before, Israel was given the okay by the king to go back. You read about that in Ezra and Nehemiah, to go back to their land and rebuild their city and their temple. So they've gone back there. But the problem is that only 40-something thousand of them went back. The largest majority of them stayed in Babylon. And Daniel's concerned about that. He's in his early 90s, probably at this time. He's retired from public service. But he has seen all of his people that didn't go back to the nation of Israel, to Jerusalem, to rebuild the city. He's concerned. And he's asking God here in chapter 10, God, what's going to happen to my people? I mean, you let them go. The majority of them didn't go back. And the ones that are back there are disillusioned. They're not doing what they should be doing. Everything's in disarray still in Jerusalem and our city over there. What is happening, Lord? And what's going to happen to our people? This is his concern. And this is where we open up in chapter 10, where Daniel is at this point. Any questions so far? Okay, look at verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing, that word translated thing in the Hebrew should be a word. It's a mistranslated word. It should be a word was revealed unto Daniel. This word is God's word. Now he's asking God, what is going to happen? Whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, or in the distant future, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Now Daniel says here, opening this, he said, in this third year, which is 2 years after he had the other vision, God revealed a word to him. It's going to show him what's going to happen. But also, in revealing this to Daniel, he also tells Daniel, this is not going to happen immediately. This is something that's going to happen in the future out here, a long span off in the time that men think of span time. Okay? I want you to understand that. Chapter 10 of the book of Daniel is unique in this feature. There's no other chapter anywhere in the entire Bible that gives us an insight into what goes on behind the scenes in the nations in the spirit world. Chapter 10 is the only chapter in the entire Bible that I'm aware of that shows what really happens behind the scenes in places like Washington, D.C., and Paris, France, London, England, the White House. It gives us a little glimpse of what really happens. That's why I say this chapter is so unique to God's Word. Verse 2. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, is probably the translation that you're reading. Again, that's a mistranslated word, the word weeks. It should read like this. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full sevens. Remember about the 490-year cycle of the 77s. This is the same thing, it's the same word, the word translated weeks. He's saying, I have been mourning here for 21 days. Now, Daniel had uttered a prayer, and he's been waiting for 21 days to get an answer. He says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all until 3 whole sevens were fulfilled. Now, Daniel tells his condition. He uttered a prayer to God, and 21 days have gone by, and he wants an answer so bad that he has not eaten any pleasant food. Bread, that means rich foods, fancy prepared foods, like I ate last night, a big, huge piece of German chocolate cake, which was absolutely excellent. I shouldn't be eating, but I did it anyhow. And it was wonderful. Daniel didn't eat those kind of things. He just ate plain food. And he said he didn't anoint himself. In other words, he didn't get all dressed up in his finest garments and go out and parade around anywhere to impress anybody. At this time, Josephus, in his writings, said that the Medes and the Persians thought so much of Daniel that when they captured Babylon, that they built him what it calls it a castle on the river there, and they retired him to service there. And he had this own private, beautiful place that was built especially for him by the Medes and the Persians. They felt like if they treated Daniel well, that his God loved him so much that they'd receive some blessings from him. Well, they're pretty smart, because that's exactly right. If this world would treat Christians better, it might get a few more blessings as well. You mistreat God's people, look out for the wrath of God. And that's been going on today. But they treated Daniel well. Anything he needed or wanted, he had it. So they treated him well. That's where he was. All he had time to do was concentrate on the Scriptures and prayer and fasting. Now let me say this. This is an example for all of us Christians to follow. Something in your life is serious. You really want an answer. You know it's a powerful, important issue that's coming to your midst, and you really want an answer from God. The Christian discipline of fasting and concentrating on God has been neglected. I told you this before, and I'll tell you again, because this is an example. Daniel did away with all of that. One of somebody in the first class had the comment, well, if I do that, and I'm serious about that, do I continue to communicate with my wife? Yes. Absolutely. Whatever you do, don't stop communicating with your wife. You'll get in big trouble then. Daniel still had people where he was. He communicated with them, but he kept it to a level that his intensity and his focus of his life was to God. There are many times in my house when I have something special that I really want an answer from God, I'll isolate myself for a while in my study back there. I don't read the newspaper. I don't watch the news. I'll fast. And I still communicate with Bonnie. I don't want to get in trouble there. She's my spouse. But we do everything on a different level. Okay? I highly recommend that. As a Christian, do that. It's much neglected today. Everybody thinks too much of the world. Get rid of the world from time to time. Get out by yourself. Pray, fast, and seek God's will. That hasn't changed one bit.
Is the real intent for it to be invisible?
The real intent is for the world just to basically go away. That's right. Any questions on that? I can't be any more serious about that in your life. Okay, so please do that as time and opportunity permit. And you have a special need in your life, do it. You'll be amazed at at what God will do in your life if you do that. Any questions on that? Okay. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, that's April, the first month of the Jewish calendar is April. He says in the 24th day there, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, that's the Tigris River. In case any of you want to know on the modern maps, that's the Tigris River where he was living. They had built this palace or castle, whatever it was, there on the Tigris River there. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Euphrates. Now he's getting ready to give a description of an individual. I'll tell you who it is. It's the Lord of glory right now. It's Jesus Christ. This is called in the Old Testament a theophany. It's an appearance of God to man. Now not in his full glory, because man couldn't absorb that. You would die immediately in the presence of God. But notice something. This description, as we read this, if you go when you have time over to the book of Revelation in the first chapter and read the description of Christ as John saw him there some 600 years later, you'll notice enormous similarities between the two visions of this individual. So we're talking about Christ right here in a vision in the Old Testament called a theophany. Let's go ahead and read it. His body also was like the beryl. That's a precious stone. There's some discussion as to exactly which one it is. Whatever it is, it's beautiful. His face has the appearance of lightning. His eyes as lamps of fire. And his arms and his feet like the color of polished brass. And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now, if you take this description, and when we get into the book of Revelation, we won't turn there now for time's sake, but in the first chapter, John saw a vision of Christ in heaven. The similarities are very, very close. So he's seeing the Lord of glory right here in the Old Testament. And it's called a theophany. There's a number of them in the Old Testament time. When Christ appeared to man. Any questions on that? What's interesting is the two visions of this Lord of glory are 600 years approximately apart. The visions are about the same in appearance. It has the same effect on both men, on John and Daniel. They both fainted. They couldn't stand the vision. It was too much for their human frame. Daniel here, as we go on, he relates that he fainted twice in this encounter. Verse 7. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. He had some people there present, just like Paul on the road to Damascus. They didn't see the vision that he saw or hear the voice. And he said here, Daniel says, these men that were with him, they didn't see the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Whatever happened, whatever quaking this was, or whatever the presence of Christ did in this encounter, these men didn't want to stay around. They left the scene. Only Daniel remained. Just like there with Paul and his encounter with Christ, those men that were with him on the road to Damascus, they couldn't stand it. They didn't hear it. They fell down. Therefore, I was left alone and saw the great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. He couldn't stand it. In the human form that he was, he couldn't stand it. He said, I had no more strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face and my face toward the ground. He fainted. He just literally fell over face first to the ground and he passed out. And behold, an hand touched me. Now, there's some confusion. If you study commentaries about where we are right now in the 10th verse, there's some differences among authors if you read different commentaries. Some of them will say this is the same person that he saw appear that's Christ. Some say that it's not Christ he saw. If you'll read this in the context, I believe, that it was written, there are multiple spirit beings present in this encounter. Now, if you look at it in that manner, and I'll point them out as we get to the different ones, it all makes sense. Okay? So if you have a question when we get there, stop me. Down here to this point, right here, through verse 9, he has seen a vision of Christ. Now he faints. Here in verse 10, somebody picks him up. This is not Christ. It's another angelic being that's present with him. Behold, a hand touched me, which set me up upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. I'm sure all of you at some time or another in your lifetime have grabbed somebody up by the shirt collar, a coat or something that's fallen down flat on their face and yanked them up, put them up on their knees and their palms of their hands. I have numerous times. And they're there on their knees and palms of their hands. This is what this angel does. This is not Christ that does this. This is a different angel that does this to him. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. The reason I say that's because of this address to him. Probably Gabriel. Because Gabriel has addressed him like this before. You are a man greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. Get on your feet, Daniel. I'll set you up this far. Now you get on your feet. For unto thee am I now sent. Remember, Gabriel is the messenger angel. He's the one that delivers God's messages to the people. He did it back in the Old Testament. He did it to Mary. He did it to Elizabeth. He is God's messenger angel from the throne of God. He said, I'm now sent to you. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Okay, he does manage to get up on his legs, but he's still trembling at the appearance of these angelic beings. Now remember, he's one man, and there are numerous angelic beings, including Christ, standing where he can see him. A lot of people say they want to see an appearance of an angel. Well, I imagine if they did, they would be greatly moved. Probably do just like Daniel. You'd probably fall flat on your face and faint if he's showing you in the glory of his presence. Any questions so far? Okay, verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not. Of course, he sees Daniel's knees trembling and all that. He says, don't be afraid, Daniel. For from the first day, somebody asked, well, how do we know that those sevens mean days? Here's the reason why it says, all right, here, the day. From the very first day that you did set thine heart to understand, to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I come for thy words. Now Gabriel tells him, from the very first minute you uttered your prayer, God heard it. The throne of God knew about your prayer. Do our prayers get through? Yes. Immediately, it says here. But something happened at that point. And this is the insight into the spirit world that we don't get anywhere else. Notice verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. For 21 days, Gabriel tells Daniel, I've been trying to get this message to you, but I haven't been able to get through the demonic world. For 21 days, the answer to your prayer has been held up. Now, a lot of people get concerned over that issue. Let me say this. From the very first time he uttered the prayer, it hit the throne of God, and God sent Gabriel down to give him an answer. But Gabriel couldn't get through. Satan and his emissaries, he calls him here the prince of the kingdom of Persia, had stopped the message from getting through. Does Satan do that today? Yes. His tactics have not changed. He still has the same fallen angels. If you study the Bible, you'll know that one third of all the created angels of heaven decided to rebel with Lucifer, and so they fell with him. There are also not only fallen angels, but there are demons present, and they do everything they can to hinder the workings of God. That's their total dedicated life. So that they didn't want the answer to get to Daniel about his people. So this prince of Persia, this evil being, whether it's a fallen angel or a demon, we're not told, we do know it's an emissary of Satan, he blocks Gabriel, as powerful an angel as he is, for 21 days. Any questions on that? That may be sometimes why your prayers get hindered or don't get answered exactly as when you think they should be immediately. Remember, Satan is called the prince and the power of the air. In the book of Ephesians, it tells you that he's the principality and power of the air. He's the god of this age. So these angels have to come through his dominion to get to you. There is a warfare going on that we cannot see in the human realm. Every nation on the face of this earth has got some kind of evil emissary behind them, working with our leaders, working with our president, working with our Congress. You wonder why the world's in such a mess? Some of the world leaders do what they do. There are demonic beings there in their capitals, sitting right there working with them to get evil done and to stop God's purpose. That's going on all the time. That's why Paul says to pray for those who are in authority. They need our prayers. They need spiritual protection. Satan is doing everything he can to mess up God's plan. Any questions on that?
Carl, I can remember being very troubled by that issue. And the thing that the Lord has taught me is that God is sovereign and He was still in control. And that Daniel was no worse off 21 days later. And whatever the demonic presence was that was occupying, possibly Gabriel,
right,
there was a need for him to be there.
That's right.
So God was still at work in both places. But sometimes it just maybe, I don't know, I guess in my perspective, I view it as maybe prioritization.
God, let me say this. God's program is never stopped by Satan. Don't give Satan more than he deserves, but give him everything that he deserves. Give him the respect that he deserves. But don't give him too much. Some people give him too much and some people give him too little. Understand what the Bible has to say about him and give him that much respect. Even in the book of Jude, it says when Michael, which we'll get into here in just a minute, when Michael was contending with Satan about the body of Moses, Satan, for some reason, after God buried Moses, God's only one that ever buried a human that we know in Scripture, and that one human was Moses. For some reason, we still don't know where his grave is. Satan does, but he wanted the body of Moses for some reason. We don't know what that is. But God sent Michael to fight with him. How do spirit beings fight? I don't know. The Bible never explains that. That's an issue that I really would like to know. Someday I will. But in this life, we're not told how spirit beings fight or war. We do know they do. But God sent Michael, and even Michael, it says there, just challenged Satan. You know, he said, the Lord rebuke you. Michael didn't carry out a lot of bad language and threats and all this kind of stuff with Satan. He gave him the respect he was due, and he said, the Lord rebuke you. Not me, not my power, but Christ does. Any questions?
Carl,
yes?
Does God allow Satan today block our prayers to humble us and make us be patient?
He can. Just like he did Daniel. I mean, if he would allow that to happen to a man of Daniel's stature, what about us? None of us even begin to measure up to the stature of Daniel, but does God permit it? Yes, probably does. In some cases, in order to test us. Try us. See, will we remain faithful? Daniel did for 21 days. He didn't get an answer, and he kept fasting, he kept praying. He didn't go to parties. He didn't eat all those good German chocolate cakes and all that stuff. He stayed on course till he got the answer. Okay? Again, that's a testimony for us. Example for us to live by. Anybody else? Okay, notice what happens though. He says here, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. Michael is the only angel mentioned in Scripture that's designated the title archangel. There are classes of angels in heaven. We probably don't even know all of them. We know some of them. He is called one of the chief princes. Michael, by the way, is called the protector of Israel, the war angel. He's the one that does the fighting with these demonic emissaries. He said, Michael came to help me. Now, when after 21 days, God had had enough of that, and he said, okay, this message is going to get through. I'm through fooling around with you, Satan. So he sent Michael to get the Gabriel released so he could deliver the message. Any questions there? Does God have a line in the sand where he won't let Satan cross? You better believe it. Now, we don't know where that is. It's just like what God allowed Satan to do to Job. I mean, look what he allowed Satan to do with Job. But he had a line drawn, and he didn't let Satan go by that. All the reasons why, it's a testimony to us today. There may be other reasons that we still fully don't understand. This last part of verse 13 is not a good translation of the Hebrew. It says here, "And I remained there with the kings of Persia." That's not a good translation of the Hebrew. It should say this. It should say, "I was no longer needed there with the kings of Persia." In other words, Michael was handling it quite well. So Gabriel was no longer needed in the battle. He was turned loose to come back and deliver the message to Daniel. Any questions on that? Okay.
Carl,
yes.
Has the devil's power from, since the Messiah manifested, become man on earth, is his power, earthly power, any less than what it was before Jesus came?
No, it's the same. He still has the same amount of power. He's still called the prince and the power of the air. God still has given him so much power. He has limits, but he still has so much power. It's still the same today. Remember, the spirit world does not diminish or increase. It doesn't die. The spirits don't die or have the limitations that we have. They basically remain as they were. The reason Lucifer's where he is, he decided to rebel. Somebody asked in the first class, what about, did God give the angels the ability to pick and choose right or wrong? Evidently, he gave them free will agency so that when Lucifer rebelled, they had the choice to either follow Lucifer or follow God. And one third of them decided that Lucifer was powerful enough to kick God off the throne. And they followed him. And they're the fallen angels. Any questions?
Was that why Lucifer rebelled? Because he thought he was above God?
He thought that he was so powerful and so beautiful, it says iniquity was found in him. He became so concentrated on his beauty and power being the most incredibly beautiful thing that God had created in the universe. He got the big head, basically, and he said, man, look at me. I mean, I'm over all of this. God has given me dominion over all of this. Look how powerful I am. Look how beautiful I am. I'll just kick God off the throne. And he tried. And that's when God said, okay, enough is enough. So that's when he kicked him down. Into, from Lucifer, the shining one, to Satan, the adversary. Any questions? Okay. Verse 14. Now am I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Notice he tells Daniel, Daniel, I'm here. I'm going to tell you what the vision is that you're seeing, but it's for a time off. It's not for something right now. Now, Daniel was concerned because 3 years before, like I say, his people had been let go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city, reestablish the nation, rebuild the temple, and only a small percentage of them went back there. The large majority stayed in Babylon. They liked it there. Man, this is our home. We've been here 70 years. We've got a business going. We've got homes. We've got relations here. We don't want to pick up and move back to Jerusalem, a destroyed city. The enemy's all around. They hate us. They're doing everything they can to stop us from rebuilding. Why do we want to go back to that place? And Daniel was dismayed that his people weren't going back, and he knew they were supposed to. And that's what he was asking God. Show me what's going to happen to my people. Now, he couldn't go probably because of his age. Or either God didn't want him to go and kept him there for some reason, for reveal the rest of these visions that God had him to reveal to mankind. So that's why he stayed there. Verse 15. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. He passed out again. This is the second time. So remember, in the realm of the spirit world, if you were to ever get in there in the human flesh, it's not going to affect you too well. You'll be passing out and all kinds of things if they reveal themselves in any of their glory from the spirit world. And that's what was happening to him at that time. Now, there are angels that have made appearances as men in the Old Testament, and it didn't affect men that way. But if they make an appearance in their angelic glory, yes, you will not be able to stand it as a man. Any questions? Okay, verse 16. Behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Remember in Isaiah, when Isaiah said, I have unclean lips, and the seraphim took the fire of coals and touched his lips. This is a very similar experience. We don't know whether it was a seraphim or not, or just an angel, but he said, one like the sons of men, that always refers to an angel, touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. This vision that Daniel was seeing, he knew it represented his people. It wasn't pleasant. He knew there was a lot of bad in it for his people. And he said, I just don't have any more strength to stand this thing. I mean, it's just got me zapped. Because I know what I'm seeing is bad. I don't know the details yet. Gabriel's going to give it to him, but I know it's bad, and I can't take it all. Any questions? Verse 17. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? Daniel here addresses the spiritual beings around him. He said, listen, how can me as a human, in my just human form, talk to you in the spirit world and in your glory that you're showing? How do you expect me to carry on a conversation with y'all? I can't do it. I'm just a mere human. It's beyond my ability. He admits it. I can't do it. For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. I mean, it's just taking my breath away. I just can't even breathe. I can't stay awake. I'm fainting on you. How do you expect me to carry on a conversation with you? Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Notice that. Again, an angel comes, gives him strength, and to carry on and finish through the description of this vision. Now, let me say this about this verse 18. In the entire Bible, there's no appearance of an angel as a woman. Right, I'm sorry to disappoint you. All the things that you see, the paintings and all this, and what you read, and these beautiful angelic women. There's no such thing ever presented in Scripture. Every appearance of an angel in the Bible is masculine. All right? Am I saying there are no female angels? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you that in the Bible, there's no appearance of a female angel. Okay? Any questions? Okay, search it all you want. You won't find it. I'll tell you before you get started. Now, somebody had the cute little remark in the first class that, well, what does that do for the role of women? I said, well, let me answer that. Who did God choose to bring His child into the world for the Savior? Man, we didn't have any part of that. We got left exclusively out of that. So now where does that put us? I don't think I need to go any further. Okay? Women, you were given the honored role of that. Verse 19. Here's what he says. And said, O man greatly beloved. Again, he is again called a man greatly beloved. I mean, heaven looked at Daniel as such a unique individual. His life was so pure, so great, so concentrated upon dealing with God. It's beyond human imagination that a man could walk 90-something years in his life and be so focused upon God and not moved away to the left or right. I mean, this man was one of the most powerful men that's ever ruled on the face of this earth in his position in two empires. Okay? And it didn't bother him one bit. Never influenced him away from God whatsoever. Fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. My angel encouraged him. Just be strong, Daniel. Hold on. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Okay, I'm ready to carry on. Show me what you got. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee? And how I will return, now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. Okay, I'm going to deliver the message to you. I'll tell you what God wants you to know about the vision. After I do that, I'm going to go back where Michael is, and I'm going to help him fight that prince of Persia. There's a warfare going on around us today that we do not see. In the White House in Washington, in the halls of Congress. I wonder why they do such weird, crazy, dumb, bad things. I'm sorry, but they do. It's because of satanic influence. They're there, influencing them. He says, I'm going to go back and fight with the prince of Persia. Now notice what he says here then. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Who is this new one? Here we got another angelic being, a demonic being of some kind of Satan's group now. And he's a new one and he's going to come on the scene. And he's called the prince of Grecia. Greece at this time had not come to its power. It was over there in Greece at that time. Philip was ruling at that time. Alexander the Great was probably a small boy, if at all. And then he rises to power later. But at that time, even those city-states, which they were all broken into at that time, the prince of Grecia, Satan's demonic emissary, was already over there in Greece working things up, getting ready to bring that third empire, the Grecian Empire, under Alexander the Great into being. He's already at work. Any questions? That's why I tell you, each nation has got its emissary somewhere.
If the prince of Persia is opposing, and obviously some demonic force, then how do we know the prince of Greece is angelic?
Well, he says here that he's going to go forth, and then when, as soon as he leaves, the prince of Grecia is going to come and is going to start influencing the nation of Greece and Medo-Persia. Remember, Alexander the Great defeated the Medo-Persians. So he was already in the position of influencing Greece to becoming the next world empire. Any other questions or comments? This is what's going on in the scenes that we can't see today. Still going on. Satan has not changed his tactics. He's still doing the same thing. So that's why we need to pray for our leaders, our president, our representatives, everybody. Verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth. Look here what he says. He said, I'm going to tell you what the truth is. It's in the Scripture. If you want to know what the truth is, it's in God's revealed Word to man. A lot of people today are searching for the truth. Like Pontius Pilate said, what is the truth to Jesus? Well, the truth is in God's Word. This is the only standard that you can be absolutely certain is true and real, is God's Word. He said, I'm going to reveal it to you, the Scripture of truth. There is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Michael's with me in this endeavor to get to you the answer and the truth that you want to know, Daniel. And he's fighting with me these evil beings that are trying to prevent God's Word from being known. Anybody have any questions? Any comments? We're a little early, but I'm going to stop here so that we all can stay together with the first class. Does anybody have any comment? Okay, Don? Okay, that's a good question. A lot of people think that demons and fallen angels are the same entities. The Bible never defines anywhere in it where demons come from. Now, my study tells me that fallen angels are a different group of beings than demons. I think demons have a different origin and are of a different nature than the fallen angels. I cannot prove that from Scripture, but there are hints in Scripture that lead me to believe that demons are different than fallen angels. And they do different things for Satan. Did that answer your question, Don? Remember, Satan is one person. He can't be everywhere at once. A lot of people think, they tell me they've had an encounter with Satan and that Satan hindered them. Let me say this. I'm not saying they didn't, but your chances of encountering Satan are about as much as winning the lottery in your lifetime. And that's pretty slim. Because he's only one person. He's not omnipresent. Too many people think of Satan as being all over the world at one time like the Holy Spirit. That's not true. He's one person. He's in one place at one time. Does he concentrate on some individuals? Yes. And the ones he can't concentrate on, he sends the fallen angels and he sends his demons out to work on the others that he can't work on because he's limited in being in one place at the one time.
Where in Scripture is his fall from grace?
You could read that in the book of Isaiah, the book of Ezekiel. It's in there. Those two books tell more about Lucifer's fall than anywhere else in Scripture. Those two books. That's the most information you'll get on that. Anybody else? This is good. Anybody have any questions or comments? Scott.
You mentioned angels being all male in the Bible. Well, when we die, we don't become angels.
No. I was talking to a little girl. Yeah. I was talking to a little girl the other day and her daddy had died. She was a young teenager. And she was telling me that her daddy, after he died, had become an angel. I mean, a lot of children have this in their imagination. And I said, honey, let me tell you. I said, your daddy did become an angel. But I said, he became in a position to where angels, he will judge angels. And he will rule over them. I said, that's even better than being an angel. So that satisfied her a great deal. But a lot of people think that, no, we don't become angels. If you're faithful in this life, you'll rule over angels. You'll judge angels. They'll be your servants in the next age. Anybody else?
In the last part of 21, it says, no one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the these he's talking to besides the prince of Persia?
Well, again, we don't know where all Satan has his emissaries. None hold with me in these things. Talk about the things of God, delivering the messages of God, especially to the nation of Israel, his own ancient people. Michael is called the war angel. He's called the prince, the spiritual prince of Israel, protector of Israel. If you notice today, let me bring this around 2,600 years today. What's one of the major focal points of the world's news today? It's Israel, isn't it? I mean, if you watch the world news, what's the focal point again today? It's come back. It's come full circle now back to the nation of Israel. They're the focal point over there, sitting there in the Middle East. This leader of Iran up there is saying the Jews ought to be annihilated. If they want to exist on the earth, run them back to Europe where they should be over there. They're building, probably got a nuclear program going on. Again, Satan's behind all. He's always behind persecuting God's ancient people. The reason is, and I'll tell you this again, in Jeremiah the 31st chapter, God basically says, if you can wipe out the nation of Israel, then I'm a liar. And that's not going to happen. God is not a liar. He'll never be able to be called a liar. So as long as there's a Jew on the face of this earth, God's word is true. They prove that His word is true. And this is why these emissaries to Iran, Iraq, Jordan, all these other places that want to annihilate God's old ancient people, Satan wants to make God out a liar. If you want to get down to the brass tacks of the whole thing, if he can wipe out the Jews, then God's a liar. And God's not a liar, and He'll never be able to be called a liar. Read the 31st chapter of the book of Jeremiah. see what God says about his people. That's what's going on in the world today. Bill.
One more angel, please.
Go ahead.
On the, you know, guardian angel, yep. Is that like post-war thing? Does everybody have their own assigned angel?
Scripture leads us to believe that when you become a believer, that you do have an assigned angel to watch over you. And I do believe that from my study of Scripture. I think that when you die, that angel helps you get through this group of the prince and the power of the air around us through this demon horde, because you've got to go through there. And I think that's part of that, yes. I do believe that. Anybody else?
Why do we never, when we read about the presence of other spiritual beings, why do we not read about their presence also?
Of what, the guardian
angel?
Well, if there's some references in there, like you're talking about the children, says their angels always behold the face of God in heaven. Now, children are spoken of in two types of context. Children of God. God treats us like his children, or children of humans. Scripture leads us to believe that when you become a Christian, you're God's child and he gives you a protector. There's some other things associated with that, but they're an entire study that probably would take weeks to get into, that maybe sometime I can get into them, that the Bible gives little references to. Again, God does not tell us everything. If you've got a list like I got, I told Bonnie to put it in my casket if I die before he comes back, so I can take it with me. I got questions. I don't know all the answers. I have some questions. Anybody else? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this wonderful study of Daniel, where you have let us see a little bit into behind the scenes affairs that go on into the world, and why we should pray for our leaders and those that are in power, that we may have as much peace as possible. Lord, continue to use us, guide us, and direct us. And Lord, help us this season to uplift you when the world goes so mad about money and goods and things. Let us uplift you before the world, that you came once as a babe. Now you're a risen, mighty, powerful Savior, and that you and you alone can straighten out the things of this world that are going so wrong. Protect each one. We lift up again our loved ones by name. Thank you for our guest. And Lord, I thank you for the wonderful gift that this class has given me. In your holy and precious name, I ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a wonderful, blessed time. And be careful.